You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
All right, we're jamming through the Mike Salk Show here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com as well. A lot going on this morning.
Is there? It seemed pretty quiet this last few minutes.
It wasn't until I started reading about Nick Rolovich here. All right, I'm gonna move on. We're not going to talk anymore about that for at least a little few minutes. But if you haven't heard the news, I'll at least keep everybody updated. Facts only here. Nick Rolovich's lawyer, this is from Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports, says the lawyer released a statement saying he's taking legal action against Washington State and all parties responsible for his illegal termination. He accuses AD Pat Chun of, quote, discriminatory and vindictive behavior. So, there you go. If you want to hear what I have to say about it, you can go find the podcast page at 710sports.com and listen to me, my thoughts on Nick Rolovich. I'll just say I'm not a big fan of the way he handled this. I did not criticize the guy yesterday, but today with the lawsuit and the way he handled things leading up to it, yeah, I'm pretty unimpressed. I said that I was going to talk about some Cam Newton stuff here, but I'll push that off because I'm tired of making you guys mad. So maybe I'll just make fun of Ian Rappaport because that's kind of more fun. maybe you heard this. So if you were listening to the Pete Carroll show on Monday, we asked him about Cam Newton, right? And at the time, Pete was very nice and answered the question.
Well, just so that you know, we've already talked to him. You know, we're talking to everybody that could help us, you know, and
that was nice. Pete mentions on our show, kind of breaks some news that, you know, they've already talked to Cam Newton. And so Ian Rappaport was on, I'm assuming, NFL Network. Is that later in the day? And here's what we got from Ian Rappaport.
Yes, the Seahawks have been talking to Cam Newton, and this is something that had been going on over the course of the past week that Pete Carroll just confirmed to local radio a couple minutes ago.
Oh, that's a shame.
Local radio.
Oh, that's a shame.
Some guy.
Right there. Not even some guy, just two local radio as if it's an amorphous entity all by itself.
I kind of thought he might have heard all the shots he take about how you never want to go with news if it's just him reporting because he's always wrong.
Well, but that's not just me. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have that view. First of all, I'm not mad about that. That stuff happens. And my understanding is that, who else did you say? Tom Pelissero did the same thing?
Yeah, he just said morning radio.
Morning radio. Is that closer than local radio? What
yeah,
if
sure.
You combine them? We're local morning radio. That's kind of what we do here every day. Maybe we should get into a debate about how we're actually audio because we're also streaming on the web and we're also in a podcast form. So actually, Ian, we prefer the term morning audio. Maybe you should use that. Should we do that?
Digital media. We'll give you a list.
I don't know. I love Tom Pelissero, so I'm not going to get upset about it. And quite frankly, I'm not really upset about Ian Rappaport. I don't think they need to give us credit every second for every single thing that happens. But you're right. I don't trust him because he does get stuff wrong. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. Maybe you remember, have you heard the thing where he hung up on Chad Dukes in D.C.? It's so great. So he's on with Chad Dukes. Do we have the actual original part of it?
Is Chad Dukes a local morning radio host?
He's a local afternoon radio host.
Okay.
And
the original one was not.
Here you go. Here's Chad Dukes.
Here's the audio from the interview earlier today, which, by the way, he was late. Then we had to reschedule because this happened.
It's tough to judge what he would be with. Hold on one second.
Keep waiting for something else.
For a second.
Keep waiting for something else because nothing else happens.
Dude hung up on him, and then he calls him back to do the interview a second time, and he again is like, "I'm sorry, I got a call, I got to go." And Chad Dukes just totally goes off.
Just a complete and total disrespectful. And then to do that in the middle of a live interview after you've already screwed me once, go yourself, dude. You get stuff wrong all the time, and everybody knows it.
You get stuff wrong all the time, and everybody knows it is one of my favorites. And then he said this, too.
You're not that famous. You don't get to act that way. If that was Jack Nicholson on the phone, I let him slide with that. You're Ian Rappaport. You're a nerd in a suit.
Is there anything funnier than the fact that he chooses Jack Nicholson as the person who he would let it slide
really
from?
Random.
Yeah, you're not Jack Nicholson. Well, no, I'm a football reporter. It would be weird if I was.
But he'd let it slide.
He'd let it slide.
He's got a list of people that it's okay if you hang up on me during my show.
It would have been better if he picked like his rival. He's like, you're not Adam Schefter.
Yes. Right, exactly. That would have been much funnier. You're not Adam Schefter. You're some, you know, Schefter replacement. Because Schefter used to be at NFL Network, right? Isn't that how he kind of made his bones at NFL Network? And then he jumped to ESPN?
No, I remember him being in Denver radio.
Yeah. I think he went from Denver to NFL Network to ESPN. And I think Rappaport sort of was the next guy up after him to sort of be the information broker. I don't really mind Ian Rappaport. I mean, whatever. But he does get stuff wrong enough that you don't like fully trust anything he says until other people confirm it as well. He's usually right. To be fair to the guy, he's usually right. And I think that's gotten better. But over the years, he's gotten enough wrong, and that just always kills me. You're wrong and all the time, and everybody knows it. It's so funny.
It reminds me of the Bill Murray, where he makes fun of Chevy Chase. Where he just points, he's like, medium talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, cuts him. Like, if you were to say, like, you're not Adam Schefter, that would have been a really good way of getting around to that.
So I'll spend a moment or two on this, because I don't want to just sit here and make fun of poor Ian Rappaport. I really don't care that he didn't mention our name. I think that's fine. Maura tried to goad me into that this morning. Like, oh, see what Ian Rappaport did? He didn't even mention us. Like, I'm okay with that. He didn't need to mention us. We know. We know the truth. And did we even really break news? I mean, Pete's just talking to us. Like, I mean, I'll give us a little credit. He said it here. But it's not like I used, like, you know, behind-the-scenes sources to develop, you know. When you do that stuff, you got to get credit, right? And I've had that happen. Like, we've broken some stories over the years, and it's exciting. And you use sources, and then you really want the credit. But Pete Carroll just kind of popping on and being like, yeah, I talked to Cam, especially when he says it a few hours later to everybody. Like, I don't know. I'll let it go. I'll let it slide. Now, if Jack Nicholson does it, it'd be a little bit different. From Jack Nicholson, I want credit.
There you go.
Why is Pete telling us that, though? Why is Pete answering the question? You don't even, your mind doesn't go there to like, okay, forgetting about whether or not Cam's coming here. This is not a bring Cam in segment, I promise. Why is Pete telling us that? Who is he talking to when he says, yeah, we've talked to Cam?
You asked the question.
Yeah. But he doesn't always answer
But we
those
do
questions.
Tend to get we're always looking at everyone like we always do.
We get that a lot. And then sometimes, even in that interview, people say like, hey, I'm not going to tell you what I said. I asked him what he said at halftime. He said, I'm not going to tell you that. We've asked him before about like scheme things like, hey, how does this work? And he's like, well, I'm not going to give that away, but here's some stuff I will tell you. So Pete is, it's not like he answers every question. And I'm not mad at him for not answering those. I totally get it. He's got a job to do. And some of it involves a level of secrecy and confidentiality. He doesn't have to tell us that they've talked to Cam. He could have just said, as Maura said just now, like, hey, we're talking to everybody. Yeah, Cam's the type of player we would talk to, but I'm not going to tell you who we've talked to. Instead, he went out of his way to say, I mean, listen to the cut. It's not, I didn't, like, he goes out of his way to say that they had already talked to him.
Well, just so that you know, we've already talked to him. You know, we're talking to everybody that could help us, you know, and to go right back to the base philosophy that we always, you know, we uphold here is that, you know, we're going to be competing at every turn with whoever would be available. And we're on it.
So there you go.
Yeah, but if he would have said anything else to avoid the question, I think you would have also dug into the, well, does that mean he's actually talking to him, doesn't want us to know? I still think that you're going to try to make the thing a thing based on no matter the way he answered it. Because he did, right after that, say to your point, we're talking to everybody.
Well, if he didn't answer it at all, this doesn't become a story. Ian Rappaport's not talking about it on NFL Network. It just sort of disappears. But instead, Pete made it, gave it life by saying, yeah, not only would we talk to him, we have talked to him. And then later in the day, he mentions that they've talked to him twice. So Pete obviously was very comfortable with this becoming a story. He knew it would be. Pete Carroll talks to Cam Newton, two of the bigger names in the NFL. Yeah, that's going to be a story. Pete knows that. So why was he either okay with it out there or want it out there? And that always, you know, when that happens, I'll ask the question, who's he talking to? He's not just talking to me. He's aware that it's an interview that goes out to, like, you know, the rest of the world, or at least the seven of you listening right now. I mean, like, the seven people who haven't been offended either by my Rolovich take or the Ian Rappaport Duke sound. I think he knows that that's going out there. So is he talking to Russ? That's generally where my mind would go, because I'm sort of, you know, of the belief that something fishy's going on there. I don't know what he'd be telling Russ. Is he telling him, hey, we're willing to bring in everybody? Is it just the fact that this is the stated philosophy of compete every day? Okay, there's something to that. Is he telling all the players, like, I'm out there trying to battle and scrap and do everything I can to give us a chance to win, and I need the same from you? That's probably my best guess. That to me makes the most sense. Hey, guys, I'm doing everything I can. I need you to do everything you can.
The going out of his way thing is where I disagree. I don't think he went out of his way. I think he just mentioned it. Like, oh, just so you know, yeah, we have talked to him.
But we get that answer, oh, we talk to everybody so often when they ask about a certain player.
Yeah, he generally doesn't want to answer those questions. And yet he not only answered it, but kind of went above and beyond in the answer here. Yeah, I'm parsing Pete a little bit. I'm extrapolating a little. There's no doubt.
And we're getting a lot of text saying that you're reading too much into this, but we also have that Tom Pelissero sound where he seems to think that they're continuing to keep tabs on him.
Didn't it sound that way? I mean, let me play you the other sound from Pete. I thought that was sort of what I got, is that Pete would still like to talk to him more.
Well, we're doing everything we can with everybody that's available always. And so I talked to him a couple times, you know, and just trying to see what was going on in his world and all that. And we're wide open and continuing to compete with
it. We're wide open to it. That sure sounds like it. I mean, sounds like Pete would like to have him around here, and I don't blame him. Who would you rather have as your quarterback? MVP or Geno Smith? Here's
Tom. Well, I think the texters have answered that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll answer it differently. Here's Tom Pelissero.
My understanding is the Seahawks will keep tabs on Cam Newton.
Is Tom Pelissero about to determine whether or not he's going to be voted off a show?
Yeah.
Listen to the music in the background. It's like, and then I'm not sure. Am I going to who am I going to? I don't watch The Bachelor. What do they give out, a rose that they give out?
Yes, that's
all right.
Correct.
It sounds like he's deciding who to give his rose to.
My understanding is the Seahawks will keep tabs on Cam Newton, but nothing has materialized here. They are putting their faith in Geno Smith. He will start again on Monday night against the Saints. And they also are awaiting the return of Russell Wilson, which could be just a few weeks away. Once Wilson is back, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to have him and Cam Newton on the same roster.
But it'd be fun.
Nor would it make sense financially. Remember, Cam has $1.5 million in fully guaranteed base salary left on his Patriots contract. That is subject to offsets. Cam is not going to play for free, so for the Seahawks or any other team to get Cam in the building, they'd have to offer him over $1.5 million to get a deal done.
I didn't realize that. That's a little surprising. By the way, Tom Pelissero could probably go on The Bachelor. He's got the teeth for it. Tom's got perfectly shiny, white, bright teeth. He does. Look, have you ever seen or talked to Tom Pelissero? Great guy. He's from Minnesota. He's like a longtime Minneapolis Vikings guy. And he's made the jump to the national stuff. He's really good. I think Tom does a great job.
To answer your question.
Fun guy to talk to. But he's got the teeth for The Bachelor.
Cam or Geno, I am still Team Geno on this. He's had just as much time as Russ has with Waldron.
No, I get it.
I still think that that's a better choice.
It makes
sense. I'm sick of hearing about Cam. And I'm willing to eat whatever shoe or drink a beer out of a shoe or whatever I have to do.
If they sign him?
If they do.
Okay. Yes, you have to eat a shoe. That's
eat
going
a shoe.
To, that's what
eat
it's going to have to be. It's going to have to be a shoe eating.
But I just feel like we're forcing the narrative that Cam wants to come here, and that just because Pete mentioned his name
hold
in the
on.
Interview.
I don't think Cam wants to come here. Let me be clear. I think
Pete wants Cam to come here, or you want Cam to come here.
Or Tom Pelissero wants Cam to come here. Yeah, no, everyone's just gathering together and making this up together.
I mean, it's all their jobs, too. I just don't think that Cam is as close as people are making sound from the media side.
I totally get it. I watched Geno Smith in the first half the other day bounce passes, do nothing, score 0 points, and eventually have them in a situation where they were better off running the ball on 3rd and 7 and 1st and 20 for first downs than allowing him to keep throwing. And I thought this looked great too. I also remember the ends of the last two games, the pick and the fumble, and both times I remember thinking, this is exactly what I was hoping for while Russell Wilson was out. A guy who can't close. Look, I'm not crushing Geno Smith. He's doing the best he can, and by all accounts, a great guy, and I'm rooting for him. But come on. Geno's not a starter in the NFL. He's proven that over the course of his career. I wasn't even sure he was a very good backup. He showed in the first game that he could be a pretty good backup. He's better than I thought he was coming into this. But even Pete's generally very, very positive, and he's been pretty positive about Geno. Do you remember Pete when we asked him? I don't even think I asked him. He just brought up the ball security at the end of the game. He's like, yeah, Geno's got to do better than that. I don't know if we have that cut. I didn't ask for it or anything. I don't even remember if we cut it up. But Pete's sitting there just like, yeah, Geno knows that was terrible. It's like, you gotta hang on to the ball. He's running around like it's a loaf of bread. Like, you got to carry the ball better than that. Pete doesn't generally make comments like that. Something tells me it was sort of sticking in his craw.
He was competing his tail off. He was calm. He was poised. He was in control. He handled everything really well and throughout the whole thing. And he was so upset that that it comes down and he loses the football right at the end there, you know. And really, you know, when you look right at it, Geno had terrible ball security as he ducked up in there. I mean, we don't let anybody run with the football like that. And he'll see it. You know, he had the ball like he's carrying, you know, a loaf of bread like that.
Pete doesn't generally use the word terrible. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. He doesn't. Now, you know, he said nice things at the beginning of that cut, but Pete doesn't generally use the word terrible. We don't let anybody carry the ball like that, he said. I don't know. Something tells me that if I were Pete, I would be calling everybody also. I'd be calling Phillip Rivers. I'd be calling Cam Newton. I'd be calling Drew Brees, even though I think that ship has definitely sailed.
Jacob Eason's available.
I don't know whether I'd be making that call. I'll stick with Geno Smith. 7:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the epic road trip has finally come to an end, and it's merciful. The Kraken lose again last night. This time, at least a little bit more respectable. 4-2 the final in New Jersey after digging yet another 3-0 hole. Hey, stop doing that, guys. They got goals from Riley Sheahan and Jared McCann to at least make it close. McCann scoring on a 5-on-3 late. Devils, though, put in an empty netter, and that was that. Lots of action before the game. Here's good news. Yanni Gourde making his Kraken debut a full month earlier than was originally expected. Recovery from off-season shoulder surgery went very well, and he brought that energy that he has to the first line last night. I thought they looked pretty good together, and that does allow McCann to drop down and give you a little bit more offense space throughout your lineup. Gourde has won 2 Stanley Cups in Tampa the last couple years, widely considered the best player that they selected in the expansion draft. Unfortunately, the news less positive about goalie Chris Drieger. He was placed on injured reserve yesterday. We still don't know the reason why, but maybe that explains why he had not made a start in any of the first 4 games. I think we expected him to. Joey Decord, called up from the minors, made the start in his place and was okay. Certainly not bad, but you know, you would have liked to have had the guy that you expected. Team collected just 3 points on this trip. 1 win, 1 overtime loss. But good news, they're coming home. They're coming home to open Climate Pledge Arena on Saturday night against Vancouver. That is going to be awesome. The building did get its first concert out of the way last night. Foo Fighters did the christening honors.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, I know you think I'm obsessed with Cam, but I will continue to at least mention the fact that not only did Pete bring it up and Tom Pelissero bring it up and Ian Rappaport bring it up, but why? Why is Pete at least... why is he going out on a limb to say all of these things and at least mention Cam's name? Yes, some of it is simple. He was asked a question and he answered it, and I'm certainly not going to accuse or be upset with any coach for saying more than they need to. I think it's great. I love that Pete answers questions, but I at least wonder who it is that he is talking and communicating to and who he expects to hear some of that. Big day of practice for the Seahawks today. We're going to get a sense for some of these injured players before a must-win game on Monday night. Rashad Penny, for sure, activated from IR. He may play a big role this week. Also, see if Alex Collins can bounce back from the injuries that he suffered and prevented him from finishing the game in Pittsburgh. I'll have an eye on starting guard Damian Lewis as well. Meanwhile, no chance of a quarterback change on Montlake. Jimmy Lake maintains they are not close to that. Dylan Morris has struggled at times, though it's difficult to pin their season's issues on him alone. I will at least point out, though, star prospect Sam Heward looming on the horizon. At some point, don't you want to get him some reps to offer a springboard into next season, especially since this one appears to be a bit of a lost cause? I would want to see that for sure. At Washington State University, Pete Thamel with the news this morning, Yahoo Sports, tweeting, quote, Nick Rolovich's lawyer releases a statement saying he is taking legal action against Washington State and all parties responsible for his illegal termination. He accuses AD Pat Chun of discriminatory and vindictive behavior. Boy, that's a surprise. Who would have guessed that he would end up suing when this was all said and done?
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, we're getting closer to a World Series matchup. Dodgers came storming back in the 8th inning to bring themselves back from the brink. They were down 5-2, facing a 3-0 hole in the series, and guess what? Their best players did their thing. Three-run shot from Cody Bellinger. Big RBI double from Mookie Betts. That gave them the lead, which they did not relinquish. Series now 2-1 Atlanta. Game 4 tonight at 5 o'clock. Series in the ALCS, that's for sure. Astros got a game-tying home run from Jose Altuve and then an untying single from Jason Castro. The first of 7 runs they scored in the 9th inning after a questionable call from home plate umpire Laz Diaz allowed the inning to continue. So things are tied up 2-2 now in that series. One more in Boston today, then they swing back to Houston. Game 5 is today at 2 p.m. Those are 3 things you need to know, and we will do that every hour at quarter past the hour.
Saturday, first home Kraken game.
Yeah, all 3 of us are going to be there together. It's going to be fun.
I am psyched.
I can't wait.
Gonna meet up with some buddies in the neighborhood beforehand. Oh, so you're cool, welcome thanks. To join that. That's if you'd nice. Like to oh, be
get,
a part of
we
it.
We get a you're welcome to join. Not a full you're going,
I mean Heather firm. Heather's joining. I figured you guys had things to do with the kids and it might be a last second thing.
You didn't think that maybe we're desperate to get away from the kids and excited about a
listen,
night out. I mean
is,
I get it. That's
all
fine.
I'm saying is I got a parking pass if you need one for the Queen Anne neighborhood.
Really? Yeah. I would imagine that you are essentially free to do whatever you want after Betsy heard about the spaghetti incident yesterday.
May or may not have went well. I don't know.
How did it go if those of you didn't hear, Justin told the story yesterday about his girlfriend eating spaghetti.
Yeah. We were having spaghetti. She was using a spoon.
With a spoon.
And I made her sound like a crazy person.
Did she have a knife with the spoon? Nothing else. Just a spoon.
Just a spoon.
I don't even see how that works.
And I made her sound like a crazy person, and I feel awful about it. There was no redeeming sense of, like, it was funny, we were laughing about it, and I was like, oh, man, I just made her sound like a psychopath for using a spoon.
Is she not a psychopath?
She's not a psychopath. She's a great person, a great partner.
But she does eat spaghetti with a spoon. I told Heather about it last night, and Heather agreed it would be grounds for breakup if that was, kind of where you wanted to go with it.
To her credit, it was like she was scooping it out of the vessel onto the plate with a spoon, and she's like, I'll just use it this way.
Well, that's also kind of weird. You know what you're supposed to use for that is tongs.
No.
Right? Tongs are the best way to get the spaghetti out of the pot and into the bowl or wherever you're going to eat it out of the plate.
My point is, I made her sound like a crazy person. And
I think she's a crazy person.
That was mean.
I mean, I'm eventually going to meet her, and I'm going to feel kind of weird about the whole thing, but she does sound sort of crazy.
She's not a crazy person.
All right, anyway, yes, Kraken Saturday night. I distracted you. What were you saying?
I was going to say, did you see the photos that were coming out of the Climate Pledge last night from the vending press? I was like, man.
It looks good, right?
Man. Well, the photos are incredible of the arena, but I was like, this is going to be an expensive beer.
Oh, the drink prices, yeah.
No, it's not going to. Well, how much is a beer?
$16.
Ooh. For a beer?
Well, it was,
what does it come with?
It was the craft, I know, wings to fly you home. It was the,
it comes with parking.
The craft beers were a little bit more expensive.
Oh, a little more than 16?
No. Those are 16. The domestics in the cans weren't as bad, but still like a, woo.
There's a, there's an old adage, or I read it in a book, I think it was Freakonomics, or one of those books I read, has a stat about attendance at Wrigley Field over the course of history, and the only relating factor to how many people showed up each year at Wrigley Field was the price of beer.
Oh, wow.
When beer went down, more people showed up.
I remember that stat.
It had nothing to do with wins and losses, nothing to do with the players on the team, the weather, anything, price of tickets. The only thing that was that factored in was the price of beer. I was thinking about Climate Pledge last night as people were going to the concert. And I guess I'd love to hear from you if you went to the concert. How was the traffic? Because I remember hearing, they can't possibly build this arena. There isn't going to be too much traffic on Mercer. No parking. They shouldn't even do this. They should just wait for Chris Hansen to bumble around in the dark for the next 20 years and see what happens. You can't build this arena, Mike, you idiot.
What's with the aggressive blinking when you're saying that?
Well, that's the person who says that type of thing. He's an aggressive blinker.
Okay.
Clearly. Okay. That's how I imagine the texters who I've seen in tweets for years. Mike, you can't possibly build this key arena. Stupid, terrible arena. Never working. They're going to be dumb in 5 years. We need Chris Hansen. That's also, how I imagine the person just like spitting out like
they
this
don't,
like
they don't breathe when they talk.
No, they're non-breathers.
Hard blinking.
It's not even mouth breather. It's a non-breather. Now we've been getting these comments since forever about this of like, well, the traffic is going to be too bad. You ever been on Mercer at 5 o'clock? Like, yeah, going the other direction.
Yeah, getting towards the freeway is brutal.
If you're trying to leave Key Arena at 5 and get to the freeway, you can't do it. You're right. But generally, people are going to be going towards Key Arena at 6 o'clock, not away from it.
I think you're doing a good job of upsetting all of the listeners
this
morning.
I'm so mad at everybody today.
So just just know that later, guys, at 9, we will have Matt Hasselbeck. So at least tune back for that.
That's a good point. All right. Why don't we take a break? Let's just, you know what? Let me compose myself. I got a little something for everybody.
Go walk
today.
Around the block or something.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to calm myself down. What do we do? Oh, you know what? Justin asked a good question. And we can even ask the people this. Maybe you can text in if there's anybody left listening who's not just furious at me right now. If you were given one mulligan for the Seahawks right now over the course of the last, what, 10 years? 5 years?
You decide.
I can't say 10 because everyone then just says, yeah, complete, the, you know, run the ball with Marshawn Lynch and win the game. So okay. Take that one out of it. Like a decision that was made about the team, about the roster, etc. We'll give you one mulligan. What mulligan do you think would best help the team? I'll answer the question. You can answer it next. Text us 206-421-3776. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's pretty awesome. People are texting in some of their pictures from the new arena. Wow. Climate Pledge looks sweet. I didn't know we could accept text messages on our new text platform here. This is kind of cool. 206-421-3776 if you want to text something in. Yeah, that's awesome. It looks beautiful in there. I can't wait. Really excited for Saturday. I feel like I've been waiting on this since forever. So excited to be at this new arena, Climate Pledge Arena. Oh, man, there's tons of pictures coming in. Oh, my gosh, that looks awesome. I'm so jealous. I really wish I could have gone last night. Looks like it was a blast. So hope everybody who went had a great time. Got to see Foo Fighters. Got to see this whole thing opened. And, yeah, it's great, man. Seattle needs this. We've needed this for a long time. And I'm really excited that the arena is opening
up. I spent a lot of time working in music radio, and it was pretty frustrating. And I get Tacoma. There's a lot more, you know, people. It's easier for people to get to Tacoma than mm-hmm. it is for people to get to Key Arena. But I lived in the neighborhood, and I was like, oh, man, I got to drive all the way to Tacoma for these concerts. Well, and also, like, when is this going to be done? And all of a sudden, it's done.
The Tacoma Dome is not a great place
to see a concert.
I mean, that's not a shot at Tacoma. I don't mind traveling a little bit to go to a show. Like, it's a pain to get to White River. But then when you get there, like, I think the sound's pretty good. I love the open-air venue. I love that stuff. I just think that the Tacoma Dome is not a good place. The sound is awful.
I got to perform at the Tacoma Dome one time.
Oh,
and
what
I
were
almost,
you performing?
Almost blew people's eardrums out because I unplugged my acoustic electric guitar and the sound guy hadn't turned it down yet,
oh, no.
And it just made that loud popping sound.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was when I was working for Jackie and Bender. I got to open the Jingle Bell Bash Show with our fake band that we called Epic.
That sounds epic.
It's pretty good.
All right, so if you could take back one thing, one mulligan, you know, I play golf. I generally give myself one mulligan. Sometimes one per nine. We'll see. Depending on the day and how seriously
I was going to out you there, but I was like,
I definitely try to do it with one, but on certain days it's one per nine. It's just, you know, that's what I try to do. So we're going to give you one mulligan on the Seahawks, and I'm not allowing it for an in-game thing. So you can't take, you know, second and goal from the one. That doesn't count.
Okay.
You get a mulligan on one thing that has happened, one signing, one trade, one draft, one something. What are you taking your one mulligan on? Justin, I got my answer, but since you asked the question originally, I was curious if you had one that kind of led to this.
The reason I thought about it was because of how dire straits this Jamal Adams situation is getting. Mm-hmm. And the people who are like, oh, let's just tank the season and get a pick. I'm like, well, we don't get a pick. So that argument's gone.
Yes.
So if it continues and if the season, I mean, if it goes even further towards Jamal being awful and not turning it around halfway through, that's going to have to be the biggest one possible.
It sure looks bad at the moment. I mean, we'll wait and see how it kind of plays itself out. But yeah, the texters, there's a bunch backing you up. For me, it's without question trading. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. It says, take back the trade of Jamal Adams. Don't trade for Jamal Adams. Biggest mistake in the last 10 years. There's a bunch of those. So that's one. I see someone saying, I take a mulligan on Rashad Penny. I would have selected Nick Chubb, Byron Murphy, or Debo instead of LJ Collier. Yeah, those are a bunch. Here's the one I would go with. And I think there's a lot of good answers. And this one, maybe I'm cheating because I'm putting a couple things together. I've said for years that the worst move they've made was the Jimmy Graham trade because it was the first time they got away from doing what they said they wanted to do. They wanted to be a physical run-first balanced football team.
And Max Unger was the guy that
well, yes, but more
that.
Than that, Jimmy Graham was a pass-catching tight end who didn't want to block.
To block, yeah.
I mean, you just went outside your identity. And he's a good player, but he was never going to fit here because he didn't do what they wanted to do. So that was always the thing that I would point to. It's not the worst move they've made in 10 years. If I could have a mulligan on anything, it's got to be the 2017 draft. And there's two reasons, well, really three reasons why. I know a lot of people are going to point to Malik McDowell. They're not wrong. You traded back and with that trade then selected Malik McDowell in the second round. He did nothing for you. You passed on TJ Watt in the meantime. And yes, that's coming up and hitting home a little bit this week because of how good he looked against the Seahawks. But all right. But then because of that, then you traded another pick to get Sheldon Richardson. And you were just, and he didn't work out. And then you needed to trade for Jadeveon Clowney. It was just like that one bad decision kept begetting more and more problems, right? It
like wasn't a Ponzi scheme.
It wasn't right. It wasn't just that you drafted Malik McDowell and he didn't work out, but you didn't get TJ Watt and you traded for Sheldon Richardson and you had to trade for Jadeveon Clowney. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another. So that move is just a complete disaster.
I was just looking at the same draft. You know what's crazy is that their next pick was Ethan Posick.
Oh, yeah.
And Alvin Kamara got taken after that.
Right. You could have had Alvin Kamara. You could have had Ryan Ramczyk. I mean, there were some really good players that were available.
Well, of course, and in hindsight, it's easy to say.
It is, but hold on. I'm not done with the 2017 draft. Let me continue. Right. We could get into a moment about their third round in 2000. Because third rounders are supposed to get, like, productive starters. Nas Jones barely played. Amara Darboh didn't play. That's your third round that year. Nas Jones and Amara Darboh. By the way, in the trade where you gave up, where you got back Malik McDowell, and the, you know, when you were acquiring extra picks, you did do something with your seventh rounder. Your last two picks in the seventh round were the only two good picks you made in the whole draft. David Moore and then Chris Carson is the extra guy you got in the seventh round. So there was some validity to that trade back. But you know what you got with the real prize of that? The extra third rounder that you got? Lane O'Hill. That was the other thing you got back because you traded back and didn't get TJ Watt.
Okay.
You want Lane O'Hill, Chris Carson, and Malik McDowell? Or do you want TJ Watt?
I want TJ Watt.
Whoopsies. Here's the last thing that I'll say about this draft. This was the draft they attempted to replace and get ready for the departure of the Legion of Boom. Remember, they drafted four defensive backs in that draft. Shaq Griffin, number 90 in the third round. Lane O'Hill, 95 in the third round. Tedrick Thompson, 111 in the fourth round. Mike Tyson, 187 in the sixth round. They drafted four defensive backs. Four. Knowing that Earl Thomas was probably going to leave soon. Richard Sherman was getting older, right? Cam Chancellor, they didn't know he was going to have the issue he did with his neck, but they were preparing for that whole thing to come to an end and knew that they needed to bring in the next crew. Shaq Griffin's the only one who didn't totally bust. Tedrick Thompson is one of the worst players they've had here during the time I've been here. Mike Tyson didn't make the team, and Lane O'Hill got hurt and was never very good. Shaq Griffin, they never re-signed. So,
they were actually trying to come up with a name for them, like the new LLB. They were, I think it was like the Baby Boomers or something.
None of them worked out. I mean, Shaq Griffin was by far the best of the group, and it's hard for me to point at him and say he worked out particularly well. This is that draft. Malik McDowell, Ethan Posick, Shaq Griffin, Lane O'Hill, Nas Jones, Amara Darboh, Tedrick Thompson, Mike Tyson, Justin Senior, and then David Moore and Chris Carson. They've had some other drafts that haven't worked out. And look, it happens, man. It's not like I'm just sitting here saying, but that's a bad draft. You want to give me a mulligan for something? How about that? How about 2017?
Okay. I saw a good text in here from 2016, drafting Ifedi at 31 ahead of Derrick Henry at 45.
Oof. That hurts.
But again, they all, in hindsight, it's easy to say, right? All of these, the Mariners could have had Trout. Like, there's a lot of things that we can say that were bad.
There's no doubt. But you're saying, hey, what are you going to give me the mulligan for?
I know. I agree.
The problem with this draft is it sent you down the wrong path in two different ways. A, on defensive ends and all the problems that you've had there, and B, in the secondary. It sets you down the wrong path in both of those cases. And what do you need in order to make Pete's scheme work, his philosophy? A good defense. And if your defense is problematic now, it's like specifically because of that draft.
Yeah.
Give me a mulligan there.
But then I think about the TJ Watt thing. I was like, what did he just get paid?
He got paid a lot of money, but like you wanted to pay him because he's really good.
Sure. But I mean, saying the amount of money that we would have tied up with him, I guess, trying to build around.
But maybe he would have been so good in the meantime that you wouldn't have signed Bobby Wagner to more money than you should have. And
sure.
You wouldn't have signed,
yeah.
You wouldn't have needed to trade for Jamal Adams.
You're right.
I mean, there's a lot of ways that could have worked out a whole lot better. So there's some good answers. You can't play I wish we drafted. No, you're right. I get that. You're right. I'm not just saying you should have gotten TJ Watt. It's just sort of the problems that stemmed from that whole draft. Yeah, you're right. Every year, every team misses on a great player. Totally. 100% right. This is not like crucifying John because he didn't get TJ Watt. That just sort of is salt in the wound. It's more the guys that you did take, the attempt. I mean, you could have, if Malik McDowell and Nas Jones are good, I'm not talking to you about the other problem. If your cornerbacks and safeties all work out, we're not talking about the other issues. The guys you drafted didn't work out. That's where you need the mulligan. All right, coming up next year, we'll talk to Brock Heward, as we always do. I need to smile. Is Brock going to make me smile today? I need a big smile from Brock. We'll see if we can make that happen next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a friend.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
It was a big night last night, Brock. They opened Climate Pledge Arena with the Foo Fighters.
Saw that.
Pictures. People have been sending and texting in pictures. It looks sweet, man.
Things look good, huh?
I really can't wait to go Saturday. It looks awesome. It's going to be really fun.
I got to get something off my chest here.
Oh, right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Do you not know who the Foo Fighters are?
I know who the Foo Fighters are. Okay. I don't know their songs, but I know that band.
Okay.
They were around with Stone Temple Pilots, right?
Not really. Like,
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You know that Dave Grohl was in another band, though, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know what it was?
Nope.
You don't know. So hold on. Just to be clear, the lead singer of the Foo Fighters is Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you know that he was, you knew he was in another band, you're just not sure which other band?
I did not know that. No, I'm okay. Sorry. Did not know that. What other band was he in?
He was in Nirvana.
No, he was not.
He really was, yes.
What? What did he play in Nirvana?
He was the drummer in Nirvana.
What?
Yeah, I know, it's great.
And now he's the lead singer of Foo Fighters?
Isn't it amazing?
What kind of world are we living in?
A very topsy-turvy one, Brock.
Now, I want to get something else off my chest.
Okay, please do.
I feel like on Wednesdays, were you watching last night some of the baseball? Did you see some of that? Did you see Troy Aikman tweeted a picture of Joe Buck next to John Smoltz? And from Aikman's living room, you know, I think it was, I'm standing here next to Hall of Famer, and Aikman tweeted a picture with a little video saying, you know, you're cheating on me.
Yeah.
I feel like on Wednesdays, you just get this little giddiness and you're just cheating on me.
Is that how you feel?
That is how I feel.
Interesting. Yep.
And I know we tape our podcast later, so you kind of get your fling, you get your hour, and then emotionally
you just want to be clear. Every day when you do Sirius XM with Ben Hartsock or whoever else you work with, what's the guy's name, the old quarterback, the Bills quarterback?
EJ Manuel.
EJ Manuel. Uh-huh. Like, you don't feel the same way then?
No, that's just me working. That's just me grinding.
Oh, that's just you working.
This is you cheating on me. This is you.
Got it. Okay.
This is a little giddy. Yeah. You just have so much fun. Well, you love Matt. He's such a good storyteller. I just love my time with him.
It's a once-a-week fling. What can I tell you? It is good, though. Matt tells some pretty good stories.
He does.
Today, he's going to the Ring of Honor, which is pretty sweet, on Monday night.
Yeah.
And so we're going to count down. I think we have the five best Hasselbeck games.
Nice.
And see if we can get a story from each of them. So, yeah, we'll have some fun with that.
Very cool.
What's your favorite Hasselbeck on-field moment?
Ooh, on-field? I think it's probably that championship game in 05. Just the biggest moment yet for Seahawk fans. That was the first run to a Super Bowl. That's Carolina Panthers, Jake Delhomme. That was, to me, the loudest I had ever. I had heard Husky Stadium, Tom Marinovich. All I saw was purple. I mean, that to me at that time was the loudest, most deafening. You could not talk to somebody next to you. But that 05, and I was just removed, right? I played the year before. I was on IR the year before. So I was still super close to so many of those folks and Matt and everything. And just watching him handle that and the team handle that and just that environment that day, it had to be, you know, near the very, very top of everything that he did. He played great, super efficient. It wasn't like he had to throw for 300 yards, but the moment was not too big for him or any of those guys. And, that laid a lot of foundation. Pretty cool.
Did you hear Ian Rappaport yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, breaking the big news?
Yes. The Seahawks have been talking to Cam Newton, and this is something that had been going on over the course of the past week that Pete Carroll just confirmed to local radio a couple minutes ago.
Local radio.
I know. Maura's trying to get me all in a tizzy about it. And I'm not just going to sit here and play Chad Duke saying that he's a nerd in a suit. I'm not just going to play Chad Duke saying you get stuff wrong all the time and everybody knows it. I would never do that.
Done with that guy, because that was the best part of it. I'm done with him. Never again. Won't talk to that clown ever.
Here's my question. This is not a should the Seahawks bring in Cam question, I promise.
Okay.
Why do you think Pete's talking about it? Who's he talking to? Why is Pete answering that question?
When you asked him?
Yeah. I mean, the easy answer is, well, he was asked a question and he answered it. But Pete doesn't answer questions like that if he doesn't want to.
I think when it comes to personnel, though, and pushing team and just a competitive environment, I don't know if he's ever not answered. I think we asked him about Antonio Brown, maybe. And even with that one, or maybe that, I don't remember if that was on or.
He kind of went out of his way. I was like, hey, would you talk to Cam? And he's like, oh, we've talked to Cam. Like, okay. Right? I mean, like, is he talking to Russ? Is he talking to Geno? Is he talking to the fans? Is he talking to the roster? Like, why does he say that?
Yeah, I think he's talking to that QB room, right? And I don't think it's Russ in particular. It's Russ is out right now. So when Russ is out, then, you know, we've got a – I actually see that almost as a positive in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just trying to play spin doctor here, but it's almost a, hey, man, Russ is, you know, he's one of the five best in this league. Like, he's franchise guy. So, of course, we're going to try to figure out any way to fill that void and fill that hole and compete like crazy and turn over every rock and see who we could talk to. And we don't know for sure with Russ, you know, in the healing of this. Like, if everybody's just assuming because he's out there, you know, running around and doing all of that, that all of a sudden in 3 weeks off IR, here we go. Well, that's a 4 to 8 week injury. That is a significant injury that you can't, like, work around. That's not having a pineapple on your ankle and I could tape it up and still hobble around and still throw it, right? This is the essence of quarterbacking. This is throwing the ball. And, you know, we all want to believe that he's going to be healed and because he's a miraculous healer with his knee and his ankle and everything else. This is a different deal. So I think that is a, hey, man, we're going to do all of our homework, all of our legwork. We're going to kind of talk to him and let him know that, hey, in 2 weeks when Russ comes off IR and that thing's not right, and he and his team say, yeah, man, we're another 4 weeks. Like, we're going to, then I think you make sure you've built that relationship and built that bridge if you go that direction with Cam.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm still curious about it. And, yeah, it sounds like, you know, we have Pelissero report, Tom saying they may still be talking. We'll see. I don't see anything necessarily materializing, but I do think it's interesting that Pete was willing to talk about it. Quickly, because we're going to run here in a moment, we were just asking people, if you could have one mulligan for the Seahawks, what would it be? And it has to be...
I mean, how far back?
I said 10 years, but you can't go to this... You can't say...
Because you've said Jimmy Graham for years and years.
I've said that's the worst move you've made. I actually think the 2017 draft is the one I'd want the mulligan on, though. Just because of all of the various things that came out of it.
Is that the one that we were down at CenturyLink?
Yes, it sure is.
Oh, the big party.
Yeah, but it's trading back and trading Malik back, McDowell back, and the back. Fact that then because of Malik McDowell, you trade for Sheldon Richardson and then Jadeveon Clowney, and it's Amara Darboh, and it's Nas Jones, and it's the four guys that you thought could replace the Legion of Boom. You put it all together. You got David Moore and Chris Carson in the 7th round, so great.
Well, David Moore's just cut.
Okay, but I mean, he did some stuff for you over the years.
Yep.
He did some stuff.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But geez, what a mess that is.
That was a bad deal. I'm leaning heavy now, and time will tell further, but this Jamal Adams is looking like the Jimmy Graham. It is having that kind of feel, and this is an even bigger one because you're paying him even more. You gave up 2 first rounders, but just for a guy that system fit, scheme fit, and everything else is just so limited right now. Yeah. What he can do on the coverage end of things, and yet you can blitz, and he's, you know, an Energizer Bunny, and Pete keeps telling Chris Collinsworth and everybody they love his edge and they love his voice, but that is a significant watch for me right now. And if I have to say, as far as recent moves, that's the one I'd like to do over.
Well, as usual, I'm right, you're wrong. And it is more because I'm the expert in mulligans. Like, if anybody knows when to take a mulligan, it's this guy. Yep. I'm very, very liberal.
Very
and
skilled very
with what hole is the best one to take. Oh,
negotiating which mulligan. If we take one here, you take one there,
You want to both take a mulligan? What do you say, good, good? See you, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye. There you go. There's Brock Heward, who, yes, apparently I am cheating on with Matt Hasselbeck. Hey, should we try somebody new? We got someone we've never talked to on the show before, and I think that's kind of a fun thing. He's new in town. So far from what I've seen, he's done a great job, and we're going to talk to him next. Stick around. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.